there's two parts to the message this today. The first part is a new direction for the congregation, and the second part is on healing. So we'll have a little bit of time for prayer after the first part. But let me just start out by saying, if you're participating in Congregation Shema Yisrael in person or online, your spiritual home is here, right? And here is Brighton, New York. So in the spirit, you are a Brighton, New York resident. Everybody see that? Because your spiritual home is here. Whether you live here in a house or an apartment, or whether you are living in Gates or Greece, if you're worshiping here, this is your spiritual home, so you're a Brighton resident. Everybody got that? All of you online also. Even if you're watching right now from Pakistan, if you're seeing us as your spiritual home, you're a Brighton, New York resident. And it's important that, because big issues have come up in Brighton causing great division, conflict. As if you're not aware of it, if you don't live in the town, we have a very progressive, very left-leaning, liberal town government, including our school board, and they are making decisions that are moving us further and further away from biblical values as a town. So let me explain some of these things. Last year, just after the riots and the looting were happening in the city of Rochester, our Brighton school board superintendent posted a banner in front of the middle school that's still there. It says, "Brighton supports Black Lives Matter." Now, as a Brighton resident, I hope you can see how I was appalled. This was done in the name of the town that I live in, as if I supported Black Lives Matter, and no one asked me, any other Brighton residents, anybody ask you? No one asked me. No vote was taken, no poll was taken. I wrote stating my opposition to the school superintendent, and I got a boilerplate response. So where is this attitude going? Well, it's really about, at the root of it, I believe, lawlessness. In the city, some of you are following the city news, they are reimagining the police. Reimagining the police, reducing police effectiveness, defunding the police, and what are we seeing? Record murders. Record number of murders this year, as well as other violent crimes, increased crime. Another example, last year there was an anti-Israel demonstration at 12 Corners. A group of us went out there to hold up signs in support of Israel. And then last month, I attended a town board Zoom meeting. And I was shocked because the meeting began with the town of Brighton declaring that the town of Brighton supports the Homosexual Pride Week. Again, I live in Brighton. No one asked me. They just do these things. There was no vote. Now, this one, you may consider, oh, that's a political issue, but where is that heading? It's heading toward affecting us very much as a congregation. It may come to a point where we must hire persons who are known homosexuals or out homosexuals on staff. We must ordain homosexuals. And eventually, where this could go is that the Bible could be considered hate speech, because the Bible says that homosexual acts are an abomination to God. And that could be considered hate speech. And then recently we learned that Planned Parenthood plans to build a new abortion facility here in Brighton, even though there's already one in Brighton. And the planning board and the town board meetings had open forums on the subject, and you can watch them if you'd like to. They recorded them all on video, and they're on the town of Brighton website. And there were dozens of very articulate speakers speaking in opposition. There was a petition with 2,000 signatures on it to not let this happen, but the facility was approved by both boards. So we wonder what judgments will come on our town for the murders that are committed there. In May, we learned that anti-Semitism in the town was an issue. One of the town board members, Ms. Robin Wilt, was advocating support for the Palestinians. It wasn't just that she was advocating support for the Palestinians, but she was doing it during the last conflict between Hamas and Israel, while Israel was experiencing 4,000 rockets falling on civilian populations She was advocating that we need to have, we need to help the Palestinians. And she posted a picture of herself with her arm around Linda Sarsour, a well-known, notorious anti-Semite on her, this is what she put on her Facebook page, as well as the hashtag Free Palestine. And if you're not aware of that, but that's short for this phrase, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You know what that means? That means the genocidal destruction of Israel. Because Israel is from the river of Jordan to the sea, and the Palestinians adapted that to say, our goal is not just living at peace with Israel, our goal is to eliminate Israel and to have the whole part of the world as being Palestinian territory. And we also know that while her post was up, Hamas was firing 4,000 rockets into Israel aimed at Israeli civilians, and they were shooting those rockets from densely populated places in the Gaza Strip so that Israel would be accused of war crimes when they tried to respond by taking out the rocket launchers. So a few weeks ago, there was a Zoom meeting with people from the Jewish community who asked Ms. Wilt to come. And amazingly, and this is one of the things that I want to highlight here, no one, as far as I know, in the congregation was aware of this meeting happening. Meaning we are falling short in keeping ourselves aware of the spiritual battle that is going on around us. Everybody see that? Somebody should have known that this was going on. Anyway, they confronted Ms. Wilt with how her comments made the Jewish people in the community feel. And Ms. Wilt did not apologize or really hear the pain of the Jewish community. She continued to justify herself and to say we must stand for the Palestinians. So this past Wednesday, there was a town board meeting. And this is amazing. A town board meeting starts at 7 o'clock. But they always start with an open forum. And then they do the town business. They open forums for everybody to express views. So the town meeting started at 7 o'clock with an open forum. The open forum with people standing up and speaking to the town board ended at 11:15. 4 hours and 15 minutes. And then they started their town board meeting to deal with their business, okay? So during that time, many people expressed their shock and anger that a town board member in a town with a large Jewish population would take such an anti-Israel, anti-Semitic stance. And even more distressing, for those of you who watched or saw it, is that there were many Jewish people who spoke at this forum against Israel and in support of Ms. Wilt. And there were Christian ministers agreeing with her too. And so far, as far as I know, the town board had not rebuked her or reprimanded her in any way. They have stood with her. Now, Diane and I and our kids, we have lived in Brighton for 35 years. We have never seen so much controversy going on in our town. And it seems to have started when we as a congregation moved here. Isn't that interesting? We expected opposition from the non-Messianic Jewish community about our belief in the gospel. And praise the Lord, we haven't gotten any opposition. Instead, our values are being attacked, torn down by our woke town government, school board, and those whom they support, those whom they approve, those whom they bring in. And incredibly, they do it in our name. Now understand, like I said, if you are part of this congregation or you consider this your spiritual home, you are a Brighton resident. So that sign that said, we support Black Lives Matter was done in your name. And the proclamation that they issued in support of the Pride Parade and Gay Pride Week was done in whose name? The name of the town you live in. The name of the town where you worship in. So they did this as if everybody in the town agrees. And they know people don't agree, but they do it anyway. So I asked God in prayer, why is this all going on, Lord? We didn't expect this. We thought we'd just move in here and, you know, the biggest thing we would have would be to share the gospel. Why is this? And I got an answer. God said when he moved us here, he knew we would be in the midst of these controversies. He wanted us to be here to take a stand for biblical values in this town. Because Brighton is on the front lines in the battle in our nation to depart from biblical values all across the nation. And then I didn't ask him, but I was just curious, well, why are we needed? Why did we need to move in here? So I decided to go on Google Maps and search for churches in Brighton. And I'm aware of where the different churches and denominations stand. And there are several mainline denominations, churches in Brighton, liberal churches. I only found two others that I am sure are standing for biblical values in the whole town. In the whole town. So we've been seeing ourselves as a witness to Brighton's non-Messianic Jewish community, but God has put us here to be an outpost of biblical values for the whole town of Brighton. So we have opposition from more than one direction, and we need to take ground to establish the kingdom of God in all of those directions. We need to stand for truth about Yeshua to Jewish people, but we also need to stand against the ungodly values of the town government and many of its residents, meaning against anti-Semitism, abortion, defunding the police, and the homosexual agenda. Those are the big issues that are happening. And we don't even know what's going to happen about COVID in this town. I'm not even going to go there because we don't even know. So we need to stand for Israel. This is what we need to stand for unborn babies, for respect for the law, and for traditional family values. So interestingly, Mark Stone shared a passage in the morning prayer this week that is very relevant to us. We need to be like the Jewish people who rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem, who were facing opposition on every side. And Nehemiah, who was leading them, wrote this in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. From that day on, half of my men were doing the work, while half of them took hold of the spears, shields, bows, and breastplates, and the leaders were behind the entire house of Judah. They were on the alert, prepared for attacks. See, like I described, we were not prepared for any of this. And the biggest indication of that, we didn't even know that meeting happened, where a bunch of people from the Jewish community confronted the town board member. We're not prepared. We didn't even know the conflicts were going on. So first of all, we need to be better informed. Verse 11, those building the wall and those bearing heavy burdens kept one hand on the work and the other hand holding a weapon. So each of the builders, verse 12, had his sword strapped to his side while they were building, and the shofar blower was beside me. So we need to have our spiritual weapons strapped on our sides and our armor on. We need to keep our spiritual ears and eyes open to prepare for these attacks or to see where we're supposed to go to gain ground. Verse 13, then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from one another on the wall. Verse 14, wherever you hear the sound of the shofar, join us there. Our God will fight for us. So this spoke to me about our need to have a communication system in place to enable us to move quickly to respond wherever these things are coming up. Because we've had several of these things happen, and it's like, yeah, I get a text message like 5 minutes before it happens. This is going on. We need to be in there. So here's the five strategies that God gave us for this time. First of all, we need to get on the distribution list or Facebook pages of those who will stand with us so that we can join with them, which we're not right now. And we need to get on the distribution list and Facebook page of the opposition so we know what they're up to. Because they're speaking it out publicly. Like Elizabeth just said to me, was it Thursday or Friday? She got an email from Planned Parenthood and she was going to, you know, discard it and get off their list. And I said, no, stay on their list. We find out what they're up to. Right? So we need to have that intelligence. We need to have that intelligence. Second, we need to pray for Brighton's government to return to biblical values. We need to pray for people for salvation. Where do we need to pray? Well, certainly in our prayer room, but also on the phone in the morning and other times, and on the streets as we've been organizing in the last few days. We need to go out and prayer walk. We need to go to 12 Corners, which is the center of Brighton. We need to go to the town hall, pray there. We need to go to the school board and pray there, because that's where a lot of this is coming from. Third, we need to speak out for biblical values, audibly and in writing. We need to attend meetings, speak at open forums, write comments, sign petitions. One of the things that we haven't been able to do for the last 2 years has been the March of Remembrance. which is a great way of bringing together people who are supportive of the Jewish community and supportive of Israel. But we're going to do it when the spring comes around once again. Here's what I've seen from the meetings that I went to. There are many in Brighton who have biblical values. It's not like we're the only ones here. They're pro-life, they're pro-traditional family, they're pro-Israel, they're pro-police, but their voice, our voice, is not being heard. The people in control are, I remember Sharon telling me that if you investigate it, the people in control of the Jewish community are just a few people, and they maintain control of what the Jewish community stands on this. So we need to pray. We need to speak out. Number four, we, and this is mind-boggling, we as a congregation need to become a rallying point for other like-minded Bible-believing people in Brighton. Let me say that again. We need to become the rallying point for other like-minded people in Brighton, because there aren't any other. Okay? People with biblical values need to know there's a place and a people and organization where they can connect with like-minded people. And if there's some that disagree with us, we may lose some of them over that. That's okay. Because you know what? They're going to be replaced by people who do have biblical values who want to connect with us. And number five, this is a big one. We need to bring together an alliance of organizations that support biblical values in Brighton. Orthodox Jewish synagogues, they support biblical values. The two Bible-believing churches and our Messianic congregation, I believe we're called to bring them together because we are the ones that are standing for biblical values. And obviously we have some walls between us and the Orthodox Jewish communities, but I believe God's calling us to join with them and them to join with us, because we all need to stand against these things. So that's the challenge the Holy Spirit has for us. Literally to break down the gates of hell in this town, right here in this town. So you can applaud, yes. But we're going to pray. So just if you could all agree with me in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us here to this place. We didn't understand all the reasons you had for bringing us to this place, but they're becoming uncovered to us now. And we pray, Father, for courage, for discernment, for wisdom, for favor. We ask you to reveal to us who should be our allies in this battle and who are our opposition. And together we stand against the spirits behind these things. The spirit of abortion, which is a spirit of death. The spirit of fornication is also behind it. The spirits of gender confusion. The spirit of prejudice. The spirit of anti-Semitism. We stand against those spirits. The spirit of lawlessness. The spirit of prejudice. I've got that one already. And Lord, give us wisdom to enable us to be aware of what our allies and our opposition are doing. Give us the ability to have that intelligence, that information. And Father, I just pray for all of us who are here and all of us who are watching right now, a burden for prayer for this. Because this is where we are. This is our home. We are here. We can't get away anymore. We are here. And this is what is around us. And that give us the courage, Father, to speak out, to write, to demonstrate whatever it is we need to do, and the wisdom to do it in biblical ways, in godly ways. I'll tell you, at some of those board meetings, it was dramatic, the difference between from that fortress to stand against the opposition. And give us favor to gather like-minded congregations to be able to stand with us, Father. And we pray that you would enable us to tear down the gates of hell here in Brighton. And, of course, this goes for the whole county, for the whole state. But it has to start somewhere. And some of us are very concerned about the national issues. Obviously, the national issues are huge. But there are local issues that are supporting those national issues. And I just listed four big ones that are prominent here. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody who found that to be offensive, I welcome you to leave. But we're going to look at the second part here. called to we're called to a spiritual battle. And what we've seen in the last couple of months, and even a little bit more, is that we have been greatly attacked by sickness. Amy, Sam, Kenny, over approaching two dozen of us came down with COVID over different times, and we had to shut down. So the second part of this is about the fact that our spiritual soldiers need to be healed and kept healthy to fight the good fight. You'll agree with me about that? So we have a great need for faith for physical healing. Our faith for physical healing needs to be increased because obviously it's been under attack over these last couple of months. So Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, you're probably all familiar with this, says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Messiah. God's word imparts faith or trust. God's word for healing imparts faith for healing. We used to have, way back, a little cassette with probably 70 or 80 healing scriptures on it that somebody had recorded and read, and we would just play that cassette over and over again to strengthen our faith for healing in our household. So I'm going to start with the word that proclaimed God is a healing God. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. God says, if you diligently listen to the voice of Adonai, the Lord your God, do what is right in his eyes, pay attention to his mitzvot, his commandments, keep all his decrees, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I am Adonai who heals you. I am Adonai who heals you. Now, first of all, I want to address this talking about he put these diseases. He did put diseases on the Egyptians. Two of the plagues were diseases, boils and the death of the firstborn son. So God did that in judgment upon the Egyptians. And then he says, I am Adonai who heals you. Ani Adonai Rofecha. That's how you would say it in Israel. This is one of the I am names of God. He declared this to be one of his names. Now, understand this. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. In the Hebrew culture, in the culture of the Bible, a person's name describes the identity of that person. So God is saying, part of my identity is I am the Lord who heals you. He doesn't just say, I am the healer. Did you notice that? I am the Lord who heals you. Your healer. And the other thing to understand from this that I've always understood is that nothing else can heal you. He created your body so that it would heal when it is injured or sick. And we have all experienced this. You cut yourself, the blood clots, right? And then your skin, with treatment made sometimes, or sometimes without treatment, begins to heal over. A scab forms, the scab falls away. You might have a scar, you might not have. But all of that, God designed that into you. And he is the one, I believe, that anoints medication to work. When we need medication, the reason it works is not because somebody invented it, but because somebody discovered what God already knew would heal you and put that together and put it into a pill. So also in this verse, the promise is for more than healing. Do you see that? I will put none of these on. It's for health. It's for ongoing health. It's not for recovery when you're sick. It's for health. But this promise is conditional. Everybody see that? What's the conditions? Obedience. Obedience to his commandments and decrees is required for him to fulfill his healing promise. Now, this is an interesting, very important point, but it also has an inverse, which says that many diseases are the results of disobedience, right? If obedience brings healing, what does disobedience bring? Not healing. Breaking God's commandments, sin or iniquity, brings sickness. Now, this is the basis of Dr. Henry Wright's revelation that sin and iniquity are the spiritual roots or causes of many diseases. Not all, but many chronic, incurable diseases. And here are some Bible verses that state that connection directly. Luke 21, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them from fear. What does that say? Fear, worry, anxiety, stress cause hearts to fail. What is a failing heart? Heart disease. Proverbs 14, 30. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. What is rottenness to the bones? It's arthritis. Arthritis is rottenness, so envy is linked with arthritis. Proverbs 17, 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, kind of the same thing as the previous one, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Not rotten, but dries up the bones. A crushed spirit can be a broken heart. It can be bitterness. It can be grief. It can be great disappointment. Now, what does it mean, dry bones? Well, normal bones contain in the middle something called marrow, bone marrow. And the bone marrow is what produces your red and white blood cells. So in other words, the bone marrow is what is instrumental in making your immune system strong. What happens if the marrow dries up? Your immune system fails. So there's a connection here between a broken spirit and immune system diseases. And there are many immune system diseases where the immune system has failed. This connection between sin or iniquity and disease is also confirmed by a very familiar Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless Adonai the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. Isn't that interesting? Iniquity is ungodly attitudes, your carnal nature, your flesh. You don't have to say or do anything to have iniquity. It can be an attitude, a belief, doubt. What is iniquity? Lust, greed, pride, resentment, rebellion, anxiety, worry. And there's a powerful promise here. God forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, but what about the fact that they're both there in the same verse? Do you think that might mean there's a connection between iniquity and diseases? Yes, there is. Forgiving iniquity and healing in the same verse implies that sometimes forgiving iniquity, in other words, repentance, is required for physical healing. And medical science confirms this over and over again, the connection between iniquity and disease. Stress and anxiety, that's iniquity. The word tells us over and again, fear not, fear not. If you're struggling with stress and anxiety, you're not trusting in the Lord, basically, and that's iniquity. And we know that causes high blood pressure, right? Anger causes heart disease. Alcoholism causes liver disease. Smoking causes lung cancer. Unforgiveness, bitterness, excessive grief, doctors have now discovered cause cancer. So when I pray for healing for myself or others, I also pray for revelation of the spiritual roots of that disease so that the root can be removed by taking responsibility for it, by repenting of it, by repenting of entertaining it, renouncing it, and casting out the spirit behind it and removing the root. Now here's something that is so important to understand. If a sickness or disease has a spiritual root, suppose that God were to heal that person with the spiritual root not removed. What will happen? It'll just come back. It'll just come back. And in kind of the inverse of that, if God did heal someone with a spiritual root not removed, God would actually be promoting or encouraging that person to continue in that iniquity or sin that caused the spiritual root, the spiritual root that caused the disease. So God would be, in a sense, promoting sin. Everybody see that? Let me say that again. If God heals somebody without the spiritual root being removed and the healing remains, so they continue to do whatever that spiritual root was, right? But they don't get sick anymore, then what's God doing? He's promoting the sin. Did everybody see that? He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. So let me give you an example of this. A smoker develops lung cancer, and he asks for prayer. God answers the prayer and heals him supernaturally. But they go right back to smoking. And what would happen? Cancer would return. If it did not return, God would be encouraging them to continue in that sin. Here's another one. A chronic worrier develops high blood pressure. Ask for prayer. Worry is a form of fear. God answers the prayer and heals them supernaturally, but the person is still in fear and worry. And the high blood pressure returns. If it did not return, God would be enabling that iniquity that caused the spiritual root to grow. God's smarter than that. He wouldn't do that. Okay, so how do you find out the spiritual roots of a disease? Well, we saw three biblical connections already in the three verses I read. Heart disease, arthritis, immune system disorders. Another way that we can learn what they are is the Holy Spirit may give you or someone praying for you a word of knowledge. This is the root of this. Another way is that Dr. Wright's organization called Be In Health has what's called a spiritual roots directory. It's based on the records that they have kept for 30 years of people who have come to them with specific diseases, incurable diseases, and have been miraculously healed when they prayed against specific spiritual roots. They keep a record of that. And so if someone tells me I have such and such a disease, I can go look it up and say, these are the spiritual roots of it. And we actually pay a monthly fee to that ministry to have access to that spiritual roots directory. Okay, let's look at some more faith-building words in Scripture. Mark 16, verse 15. This is known as the Great Commission. Then he, Yeshua, said to them, as you go throughout the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. Verse 16, whoever trusts and is immersed will be saved. Whoever does not trust will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who do trust. In my name they will drive out demons, speak with new tongues. 18, not be injured if they handle snakes or drink poison, and heal the sick by laying hands on them. So this is a challenging command, but what God commands us to do, I found this often in my life, if he commands us to do it, he will enable us to do it. The conditions for this promise being fulfilled, go throughout the world. That doesn't mean you have to go to Afghanistan. That means you just have to go wherever the Spirit leads you. Proclaim the good news, drive out demons, lay hands on the sick, and the promises, they will be healed. Luke 10, verse 19, remember, I have given you authority. That's every one of you who is a follower of Yeshua. So you can trample down snakes and scorpions, that's nice, but indeed all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed. You and I, we have authority over how much of the enemy's forces? All the enemy's forces. And then I want to just review the most challenging verse in the Bible that we studied a few weeks ago. John 14, verse 12. Everybody remember that verse? Yeshua is speaking. Yes, indeed, I tell you that whoever trusts in me will do the works I do. Indeed, he will do greater ones because I'm going to the Father. That's the most challenging verse in the Bible. Everybody agree with me? You're going to do the things that Yeshua did. To whom is this promise made? Whoever trusts in Yeshua. And what are the works he did? The context is he's talking about his miracles, his deliverance, His healing works. So what works will those who trust in Yeshua do? The works he did. And then he puts that kicker in there. And greater ones. Greater ones. And what will enable you to do these greater works? Well, he tells us in that verse. Because he went to the Father, and he told us he went to the Father for a purpose. You remember what the purpose was? Send the Ruach HaKodesh. Send the Holy Spirit to empower you and I to be able to do those works. And what is the condition for doing greater works than Yeshua? Trust him. Trust in him. It's all about faith. So now let's go back to Peter's story that we just went through for 8 weeks. Remember, one of the things that we learned in there is that his story, his account, shows us how a person who trusts in Yeshua, a person who interacted with him, walked with him when he walked among us and was taught by Yeshua, could do the things that Yeshua did and greater things. Even though Peter had some significant failures. Yeshua called his faith little when he sank after walking in the water. Peter rebuked the Lord for saying he was going to be crucified, and Yeshua said Satan was talking through him. And then Peter boasted he would always stand by the Lord. And within a couple of hours, he denied he even knew the Lord out of fear after Yeshua was arrested. And then, after Yeshua rose, Peter went back to fishing for fish after being told he would fish for men. Yet Peter, with all of those failures, did some of the same works Yeshua did. And we went over these, so I'm just going to remind you. I mean, he healed a crippled man in Acts 3, told him, dragged him by the hand, got him up. He healed Annas and resurrected Tabitha in Acts chapter 9. And he did a work that Yeshua never did. His shadow healed people. In Acts chapter 5, it talks about them laying people in his shadow so his shadow would just pass over them. So Peter is an inspiration to you and I to have faith that we can do the things Yeshua did and even greater things, even though we have some significant failures. I have some significant failures. Anybody else here have some significant failures? So he's our example. But Satan might convince some of you that Peter could do those things because he was actually there with Yeshua. He was taught by Yeshua. He walked with Yeshua. And Satan might say, do you only know Yeshua through the Word, the Holy Spirit, other people's testimony? Peter knew him in the flesh. So to overcome that issue, I believe the Holy Spirit inspired Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, to relate Paul's story, or Rabbi Shaul, which shows us how a person who didn't interact with Yeshua, never met him, wasn't taught by him in the flesh, could also do the things that the Lord did and greater things, even though he had some significant failures. After all, Rabbi Shaul persecuted believers in Yeshua, imprisoning them. And he had a thorn in his flesh that he couldn't get rid of. So let's take a look at some of Rabbi Shaul's works. First, in a city called Lystra, in Acts 14, there was a man living in Lystra who could not use his feet, crippled from birth. He had never walked. Verse 9, this man listened to Shaul speaking. Shaul looking at him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. This man's faith was so strong that Paul could see it on his face. Verse 10, he said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And he jumped up and began to walk. And then in Ephesus, in Acts 19, verse 11, it says, God did extraordinary miracles through Shaul. Verse 12, for instance, handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were brought to sick people, and they would recover from their ailments, and evil spirits would leave them. So Peter's shadow healed. Paul's touch on a handkerchief healed. Amazing. In Troas, Paul was teaching late into the night, and a man who was sitting on a windowsill fell asleep, and he was killed when he fell out the window. A couple of stories. And in Acts 20, verse 10, it says, but Shaul went down, threw himself onto him, put his arms around him, and said, don't be upset, he's alive. Then he went back upstairs, broke the bread, and ate. He continued talking with them until daylight, and then left. In verse 12, so greatly relieved, they brought the boy home alive. So in other words, this boy was dead, and he was resurrected. On Malta, Paul was invited to stay with a man named Publius. And in chapter 28, verse 8, now it so happened that Publius' father was lying in bed sick with fever and attacks and dysentery. And Shaul went into him, prayed, placed his hands on him, and healed him. In verse 9, after this happened, the rest of those on the island who had ailments came and were all healed. So Paul is an inspiration for you and I to have faith that we can do the things Yeshua did and even greater things, even though we've had significant failures, and even though we didn't interact with Yeshua and weren't taught by him directly when he walked among us. And that's why I believe the Holy Spirit inspired both of their stories to be there in the book of Acts. Some other healing principles are there in the accounts of Peter and Paul. Their healings were based on a few different kinds of faith. One was based on Peter's faith, his faith in not so much healing, but his faith in a word of knowledge that he received from the Holy Spirit. that God would heal a crippled man in Acts 3. And we see this because he was so confident that God was going to heal this crippled man that he didn't just say, you know, get up. He grabbed the man by the hand and pulled him up. And the man's legs had never worked. And they worked suddenly. That's a lot of faith in a word of knowledge, right? Some healings were based on Peter's faith in his prayer for healing. Peter healed Aeneas and Tabitha. He just got down and prayed, and he believed God would hear his prayer. Eutychus, the man who fell out the window, was resurrected by Paul based on Paul's faith. Couldn't have been Eutychus's faith. He was unconscious. The father of Publius and others in Malta were healed based on Paul's faith. So some healings were based, we see here, on the faith of the sick person. And some of the healings were based on the faith of the sick person that God was working through Peter or through Paul. That's the shadow and the handkerchief healings. God's working through Peter, so I just have to have his shadow fall on me and I'll be healed. That was the people's faith. Other healing instructions and promises are given by Yaakov or James. Chapter 5 and verse 14. Is someone among you ill? He should call for the elders of the congregation. They will pray for him and rub olive oil on him in the name of the Lord. Now, oil represents the Holy Spirit, and it's to be used in prayers for healing. Now, some might have faith that God would move through a particular elder because he's anointed, because he's a righteous person. But this instruction about healing prayer by the elders is not based on faith in the elder. It's based in faith on the office of elder, that if a person is an elder, God is going to move through them because God commands us to go to the elders for prayer for healing. Verse 15, the prayer offered with trust will heal the one who is ill. The Lord will restore his health, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So that's interesting. Did everybody see the connection there we've been looking at? The connection between the prayers of the elders and the spiritual roots of sin and iniquity. You see that? The Lord will restore his health, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. In other words, they are connected. Verse 16, therefore, openly acknowledge your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So this is another condition for healing prayers to be answered. The person praying must be righteous, the effective prayer of a righteous person. Now, what does that mean? Not someone who never sins, but a person who is right in God's eyes because he's made Yeshua his Lord. How many of you here are righteous? You made Yeshua your Lord, right? And has received Yeshua's atoning sacrifice, of course. So usually people who are elders would meet that condition. Verse 17, Eliyahu, or Elijah, was only a human being like us, yet he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and no rain fell on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the land produced its crops. Fervent prayer. What is fervent prayer? Intense, passionate, Holy Spirit-guided prayer. So a question often comes up about what about repeating the prayers? And I've talked about this before, but this is just me, how I understand it. When I prayed fervently, I believe God heard me. I don't think he has a hearing aid that he shuts off sometimes. I think he hears me very well. So when I continue to pray fervent prayers, I pray prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard me and you are going to do this healing. Sometimes there's a wait between when I pray and when whatever it is I'm praying for happens. So I just pray that prayer of thanksgiving that God is going to do the thing I ask him. Okay, so I would like to ask now all who are here today who are in need of healing in their bodies to just stand up. I'm always amazed at how much healing is needed. So I'd say we're looking at over half of the people who are here are in need of healing. If you're watching on live stream, I want to encourage you right now to stand wherever you are, if you can, and place your hand on your screen to give a sense of connectedness that you, like you are here with us. So I'm just going to pray fervently for healing for all who are standing now. And if you're watching on live stream and you want further prayer, send us an email, shemaisraelrochester@gmail.com, and we will get back to you. But after we pray here, we're going to have the, after I pray for everybody, just general, we're going to bring the service to a close. Shea is going to recite the Aaronic benediction and the Ne'emar, and then we're gonna shut down the live stream. We're gonna invite the elders and the prayer team to come up, and invite all of you who need healing to come up for fervent prayer from them. I'll be there praying with you. Okay, so I'm gonna pray right now for healing for all of you. Father, we just, and you need to agree. You all need to agree. You who are sitting especially need to agree for healing for all of these, okay? Got that? And you who are standing need to agree for healing for yourself and for the others who are standing. Everybody got that? I'm not praying alone. So, Father, we come together right now in prayer. You tell us that there's power in agreement. You've told us that there's power in an individual praying. But right now, we are praying together in agreement. We look around and we see more than half of the people here are in need of a supernatural touch of your spirit for healing in various parts of their body. We don't know where even. I don't know where. We don't know where each other's are hurting. But there's something that needs to be fixed. There's something that needs to be touched by your spirit. And as we learned here today, you are Adonai Rafecha. You are the Lord, our healer. You are the only healer. It is only by your power that we can be healed. So I pray right now, we pray right now in agreement for your healing touch upon everyone who is standing right now. In the name of Yeshua, we fervently pray, Father, and we thank you that you are going to move in these lives and bring total and complete healing. We don't discount the fact that the healing can come through a doctor or a surgery or whatever. But we believe, Lord, that you are going to bring healing to everyone who is standing. And I'm looking at the live stream camera right now. Everyone out there who is in need of healing, we here agree. Those of us on live stream agree. We agree for healing for everyone who is standing and got their hand on their device, on the screen, whatever they're watching this on. We agree for healing right now in the name of Yeshua. And more than that, Father, we understood that what that verse said in Exodus is that you will not put the diseases on us that you put on the Egyptians. It's more than healing. It's health. So we agree together for health now for everyone who's standing here and everyone who's sitting and everyone who's on the live stream, whether they're touching the screen or they're not, because we are in a world right now that is being turned upside down by a virus, and we need protection. We need to stay healthy. We need to be protected from that virus, and we're asking you, Lord, to bring that protection to us. Bring it, strengthen our immune systems, strengthen our ability to fight off anything, and just keep it away from us in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, from ourselves and our loved ones. Keep it away from us. So we just agree together right now for your supernatural touch of healing, and we thank you that we are going to see it happen. And we are going to rejoice in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.